We are talking about hatred in the book of Proverbs, and I will review just a second here, but in Proverbs, God often gives you a positive as well as a negative about a truth. I've heard it said many a times in my Christian life and in my lifetime, all hatred, no Christian should ever hate. And that is not a true statement. Not at all. Last week, we spent the entire Wednesday evening Bible study out of Proverbs chapter, I think it's chapter six. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination. Well, if God hates some things, guess what? It can't be sinful and it can't be wrong. So not all hatred is bad. We are to hate certain things, but I'm never to hate a person. I don't hate people. I hate sin. I hate evil. I hate what it does. I hate sickness, especially when it's mine. I hate death. I've had 1 week in the last probably almost four and a half years where I haven't gotten word of somebody passing away that I know personally. I mean, literally, 1 week. I mean, there's no reprieve. It just keeps coming. So if you don't want to die, don't know me. But, you know, it's just, yeah, too late. Too bad I don't get to pick who it, no, never mind. oh, but anyway, you know, what was that? Yeah, that's not true. But anyway, God gives us a positive and a negative about hatred, and we're going to continue with that tonight. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Look at verse number 13. I'm not going to review the first seven. We're just going to jump right in principle by principle. I've taken these chronologically as they come through the book of Proverbs. There's no certain order. I'm just taking them as they come found in the book. Proverbs chapter 8, look at verse number 13. The fear of the Lord is to what?
Hate
evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way. And the froward mouth do I hate. Wow. That means this, to fear God, we must fear evil. Or we must hate evil, I'm sorry. To fear God, we must hate evil. Evil is different than just sin. Now, I've said this recently a few times. Let me help you with something. The word sin, there's several different words for sin in the Bible. One is the word transgression. That means you've crossed a line. Same thing with the word trespass. Did you ever see the yellow signs along somebody's fence row and it says, no trespassing? In other words, you stay on that side of the line and you're okay. You cross that line, you're breaking a law. That is the same word as the word sin. Sin is crossing a line. It's going over to into something that you should not go over into. The word evil is a compound word. The word evil means it's a conspiracy of two or more people to purposely destroy someone. Evil is much worse than just sin. Tearing up my door over there, Pop? Okay. But evil is a conspiracy to tear something down. There are forces of evil. There are not necessarily evil people, but our government is structured with evil in mind at times. When you're trying to capture and trying to destroy somebody, that's evil. Some would call what the president's doing with immigration evil. I call it wisdom.
Amen.
Evil is breaking down the border, not having a border, letting everybody and anybody come in, and we pay for it. That is liberalism trying to tear down so that they can destroy what we have. That is the evil. Does that make sense to everybody? Well, I don't think it's fair. Those people are poor. Well, they were not so poor. They made it all the way from Central America to the American border. They did it somehow. Yeah. And there ain't a one of them that starved. Not a one of them. what you don't realize is this. We've had reporters embedded with them all the way through this thing. We already know some of the people's names, and that's why the president got up and said there's some real bad dudes in this group. We already know who they are. And by our laws, they don't even qualify for asylum. Reason being, asylum means you have to seek asylum into the first friendly country you come to. Guess what? All of them came through a friendly country called Mexico. By law, we don't have to grant them asylum or even entrance into our country. That is the law. So evil says, no, break it down. Let's let the illegals vote in our elections. Let's give illegals citizens' rights. Isn't it amazing that somebody can cross the border illegally, shoot and kill somebody, and we pay for public defenders to defend them in court? We pay their legal fees. We pay for their welfare. We pay for their families. On and on and on and on. That's the evil of the system. Now, the Bible says that to fear the Lord, you have to hate evil, but it isn't just hating evil. It also says pride, arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth. We have to hate all four of those things. Now, pride is selfishness. Pride is seeking yourself first. For you to fear God, you have to put yourself aside. For you to fear God, you have to say, it doesn't matter what I want, I'll do what you want, Lord. As a pastor, it was very hard for me Monday at a funeral service to let another pastor take control of the funeral, but he was the one that was in charge. He read from the NIV. You talk about a preacher sitting on his hands and his tongue. I was doing it, man. Man, that was hard. Say, what did you do? When I got up, I thanked him. Thanked him for giving me an opportunity to speak, and I read from the King James. And I talked about heaven. I read from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Talked about Jesus being the only way to heaven. Gave the gospel. I had these rednecks laughing, had them crying. We were having a good time for about 5 minutes, and I sat down, and everybody went. I wasn't going to be unkind to him. I wasn't in charge. I was the intruder, not him. Now, I could have done a whole lot differently than he did it. I don't know that I could do better, but I think I could give better truth. You see, pride means you put your selfishness aside. Now, I wanted to get up and say, I don't care what you said, because he made it very clear, I'm going to give the gospel, and I'll talk to the people about that. Well, he put me in a box. In other words, I knew what my role was. But pride is only seeing life through your own God-given eyeballs. Do you know if you're not careful, your view of life gets very small? There is more to this world than just what you see. I gotta hurry. Arrogance. That's proud, pompous, pious. That is, look at what I am. Look what I've achieved. Let me show you how important I am. People who have to show you how important they are generally aren't very important. I've met millionaires, and if you saw them on the street, you'd never know. I've met men that have built billion-dollar corporations, literally. And if you saw them, you'd say, no way. I know a billionaire, multi-billionaire. He's a saved man. He's a Christian man. When he travels in an airplane, he travels coach. And his luggage is tied together with a piece of baling twine. Literally. Now, the baling twine's because he says, I know that one's mine when it comes off the conveyor belt. Now, he has enough money to get brand new luggage and buy the best of everything, but nope. Just common. So arrogance, that pompousness, that edge. Please pardon me for saying this, but the average public university type professor, they have an arrogance about them. Let me show you how intelligent I am. Gag. Just because you can use big words doesn't mean you're real smart. Next, the evil way. That's the pathway of destructive people. Be careful following the evil way. And I won't go into that very much. I've already spent time on evil. Next, the word froward mouth, or the words froward mouth. These are people who speak lies or fraud. Let me give you some. The United States Press are froward mouths. The social media of today, much of it is froward speaking. It is amazing. You say, well, I saw this on Facebook, and you really believe it? It is amazing to me how many people believe what they see that somebody else said. You're showing your lack of smarts. Just because you saw it in print on your phone or computer screen doesn't mean it's so. False preachers speak with a froward mouth. From time to time, I'll mention preachers like Joel Osteen. They speak with a froward mouth. They teach against the gospel. Men like John MacArthur, who said, it's the death of Jesus, not the blood of Jesus, that saves. That's wicked as hell. Yes, sir. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin.
That's right.
Period, end of discussion. That's heresy. So a froward mouth is one that speaks fraud or speaks lies constantly. So God says to fear God, we have to hate certain things. We have to hate evil. We have to hate pride. We have to hate arrogance. We have to hate the evil way. And we have to hate the froward mouth, not the person. We have to hate those things. Does that make sense to everybody? Number six. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Look at verse 36. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Those who hate God love death. I'm going to make a statement here. People who hate God and religions that hate Jehovah God, can I tell you something? They're the ones that promote death. Suicide bombers. Killing. Kill yourself if you get into a bad situation, but don't give in to the infidels or to the Christians. They love death because they hate God. I'm not labeling any one group, but you take any group of people that hate God, you'll find out they love death. Let me show you what I mean. Look at the music of today. Rock and roll music is filled with death and violence. Has been for 40 years. Goth rock. What is that? Death rock. It's music about killing. It's music about suicide. It's music about death itself. It's music about killing someone else, or the what, or the likeness of that. Look at how much death is portrayed in music today. Look at the games of today. Games that involve killing. I'm too old fashioned. To me, it's not gaming when you're killing someone. To me, that's training somebody for death. Training someone for the police will tell you the most dangerous criminals in the world with a weapon is somebody that's been a gamer that's used to killing on a screen. They are numb to killing. The adrenaline rush is not there. And you have younger and younger and younger killers because of video games these days. and they feel nothing. Killing and death in our TV and movies. Good night. Killing the average newscast on TV news, and I haven't watched one in a long time, but I'll guarantee you can't get through 10 minutes without something being talked about death on there. Guarantee it. They talk about the details of death and killing, where this person was stabbed, how many times they were stabbed, where they were shot, how many times they were shot, what drugs they took, what it did to them. They're showing dead bodies on television. Can I tell you something? We train the next killers by showing this all over our TV screens. Our news media needs somebody to muzzle them. Let's wait till we get all the facts in before we start plastering all this stuff on. Wonder how many people have been destroyed over news media because they allege that somebody has done something wrong just because they've been accused. You never find out what the end of the trial is, do you? You just find out that they've been accused, and the news media spritzes it up there as though you're guilty. Brother Hiles fought legal battle after legal battle after legal battle. He faced one with the Chicago Tribune and the Hammond Times while I was on staff there. And one of which, we were accused of molesting children. We were bringing children from all over the Chicagoland area into the church so that they could come in, take their clothes off in front of everybody, and get into the water. In other words, everybody got baptized. They didn't report that every one of them were in a private changing room by themselves. Oh, I could go on and on and on and on. I know a man that spent 11 years in jail because a bus kid sat on his lap and they said that he sexually molested her on a bus full of people. Just because the little girl sat on his lap. Now, God haters have a dead attitude because they're spiritually dead. Everything about them, when people hate God, they are dead spiritually. And when you become dead spiritually, you focus on death. Now, listen to this statement very carefully. Suicide is wrong. Period. But the Catholics will tell you that it's an unpardonable sin, and that's as wicked as the devil. There is only one sin that's unpardonable, and that's rejection of salvation.
That's right.
Period. Suicide's one of those things you can only do once if you're successful at it. There's a lady in Chicago jumped off one of the buildings up there. She was about 50, 60 stories up, and it was a windy day, and it blew her back in about 15 stories later back onto somebody's balcony. She jumped off again about another 12 stories later. It blew her back onto another porch. She tried twice in the same day to kill herself. She couldn't make it, so she walked down the last set of steps and walked out. She can't even kill myself right. You know, what's the chances of somebody jumping off a building twice and being blown back into it twice on the same day? God wanted that woman to get saved, amen? But those who hate God love death. By the way, it's the God haters that are blowing people up. It's the God haters that believe in the destruction and the annihilation of somebody that disagrees with them. Next one, Proverbs chapter 9. Look at verse number 8. Oh, I love this one. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Number next, correcting a fool or a scorner creates an enemy. In other words, fools or scorners hate correction. Now, listen to this very carefully. Someone who questions the rules or disobeys the rules on purpose, when you correct them, they don't like it because they want to be the rule. They don't want to follow the rule. fools know what right and wrong is, but they want to decide what they do. They don't care what right and wrong is. A scorner is someone who's always challenging the rule. They're weighing out whether the punishment is worth doing the wrong, or should I just push it to the limit and then back off? You see, fools and scorners hate correction, because when they're corrected, it means they're wrong, and they don't want to be wrong. Can I tell you something? Listen to this statement. Correcting a fool brings hate, but correcting a wise person brings a friend. A wise person would rather be corrected than continue doing wrong. I'd rather a boss come to me and say, "You're not doing this right, let's fix this," than for me to keep doing it wrong. I remember one night I ran about 6 hours worth of parts one night. I ran a whole rack of parts one night, and I was finishing up, and one of the bosses came in and started checking one of the measurements, and he said, "Craig, these are all wrong." I said, "Can't be. I've been checking." He said, "These are wrong." He said, "Have you been checking this dimension?" I said, "No, I wasn't told to check that one." I said, "I don't even have the mic out here to check it with." He said, "We got problems." He shut the machine down. They called the boss in. I was thinking, man, I'm about to die. My boss was there, the other supervisor was there, the owner was there, and I mean, I had thousands of dollars worth of parts sitting there. And I thought, oh boy, this is one of those nights you wished you didn't work so hard and make so many parts. And they said, "How come you weren't checking this dimension?" I said, "What was I to check it with? I don't even have the..." And somebody was running it before I got there. I said, "It's my fault. I didn't check it, but I didn't even know I was to check it, to be honest with you." And the owner of the company looked at me and he said, "Who set the machine up?" And that person happened to be there. He said, "Did you instruct him on everything that needed checked on this?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "Did you leave the tool with wherewith to check that with?" "No, but it's in the toolbox there." He said, "All right, Craig." He said, "Go ahead and get cleaned up." I came back to work the next day, and there were two supervisors, and said, "We have to go to the president of the company's office." And I thought, oh boy, I'm not even going to change clothes. I'm going home tonight, and I got to go get a job tomorrow. I walked in, and president of the company said, "Craig, from now on," he said, "you check everything you can check." He said, "But you're not in trouble." He said, "Somebody overlooked the fact that that wasn't there." He said, "We're all learning from this, but let's not let that happen again." I said, "Don't worry." Don't worry. You say, what is that? I wanted to be corrected. Trust me, I ran the same parts the next night. We couldn't even save those. Those all went in the scrap bin. Every last one of them. If they were too big, you can turn them again, but they were too small. The ID was too small on it, and we was in trouble for sure. I mean, I threw hundreds of parts away that day. Sickening. But we all learned from it. I wasn't in trouble. I thought it was. Teach people to accept correction is good. You know, there's a difference between correction and punishment. My son works for a medium security prison in Lexington. He works for the Department of Corrections. You know, in his prison where he works, some of the inmates there, they work with horses. Some of them are working on college degrees. Some of them are working in some of the trade industry. They're teaching them to do things so that when they serve their time, they can go out and become productive to society. And the prison system itself is working with employers in the state of Kentucky to hire some of these people when they get out of jail. And he said, Dad, what do you think of that? I said, I love it. I said, I've been screaming and hollering about that for a long time. I said, I think it's criminal that these people go to jail and then nobody will hire them. I also think it's criminal they sit there and do nothing when they could become productive for society. I said, I'm for it. He said, we just had an inmate that left here. They trained him on how to train horses, and he left jail and got over $100,000 a year job. And he's doing fantastic. And I said, son, that's the difference between punishment and correction. I said, I think there's lifers that could even do something for society in jail. They need to do something productive other than sit there and do nothing. I said, that's what correction's all about. There's more to it than penalty. It's more than just penalty. It ought to be correction. Correction means you've adjusted it so that you don't make the same mistake again. Punishment means you may have punishment involved with correction, but just because somebody corrects you doesn't mean you've been punished. Boy, that's a good statement. I've got to hurry. Number 8, look at Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse number 12. The Bible says, hatred stirreth up strifes, but he that loveth covereth all sins. Now, the word strifes there means piercing a hole through, or something sharp, something acrid, which is like a nasty, bitter smell, bitterness or violence. In other words, hatred stirs up the nasty, sharp, stinky, trashy stuff of life. Have you ever been around somebody that was full of hatred that was real sweet? They're not there. Hateful people aren't real sweet. I got to tell this story. It's hunting season. I can get away with it. Don't worry, ladies. It's not gross in hunting way. One year, one of the farms that I get to hunt had DNR tags. Crop deprivation tags. We were allowed to kill about 20 deer that summer, which is great, man. Hunting year round. The only bad thing is when it's 90 degrees out and you're hunting deer, you got to get them down, get them cared for right away. You can't let them hang. Well, I had shot about 3 deer. Of course, I skinned them and quartered them, and I threw everything in the trash can that was junk and stuff, and it was about 90, 95 degrees out that week. Well, I went hunting on Thursday. Trash day was Thursday morning. It was going to be another week till trash came. You know, by Saturday, it was getting pretty awful ripe. And I mean, it was getting really bad. It was getting so bad that 2 blocks away from my house, if your windows were down, you smelled it. And my wife, in her kind, polite, timid, shy, quiet way, said, either that stuff goes or I'm leaving till it's gone. I'll find a hotel. I mean, it was bad. So I got one of my boys up about 5 o'clock the next morning. I said, it'll be out by morning. Got up about 5 in the morning. I was working in a church in another area here. I thought, I can get that stuff and dump it in the dumpster. Well, somebody's trailer was parked near there. I didn't think twice about it. I had 3 trash cans full of goo and maggots, and it was about as disgusting a pile of rot you have ever seen in your life. Well, I didn't want to waste my trash cans. So I got my boy up there. I said, come on, son. We're dumping the first one. And as we're dumping it, he's throwing up. Because it's so bad, he couldn't hold it. And I mean, it was really bad. I thought that was dumb. So I said, let's just chuck all these trash cans in there, man. We threw them in there, man, we got out of Dodge. It was, you know, it's on the other side of the church property. Nobody's really paying much attention to it, except the trailer park next to it. So Sunday come rolling around. All the buses come back from their bus routes, and they're sweeping their trash out, and people are running over to put their trash into the dumpster. That was exciting, watching people run away from the dumpster. Weeks later, the person that was living in that trailer by the dumpster said, man, I don't know who threw that stinky stuff in that thing, but if I find them, that to this day, they still don't know who did it. I say, what was you doing? I was stirring up strife, amen. That was bad stuff. I mean, when the maggot pile's that high before you get down to the stuff that's underneath it, you know how bad it is. And it was vile. After they dumped that dumpster for 2 weeks, I could smell it in my office across the property. It was so bad. I mean, it just lingered. Say, what did you do from that? We didn't do that anymore. Hatred stirs up negative. Hatred stirs up people's emotions. Can I tell you something? The Bible says, love covereth all sins. Hatred stirs up the fact that somebody did something wrong. Love covers it. I've been working on somebody that's been hurt tragically by a church and by a pastor. They made a mistake as a young person. The pastor made them get up in front of the church and tell them what wrong they did. Destroyed them. That person doesn't trust preachers a whole lot. By the way, I don't blame them. I've been working for 3 years trying to earn this person's trust back. By the way, this happened decades ago. Just this week, I saw that person. They said, when you get your new building open, we're coming to the first service. Amen. Say, what is it? Love covers all sins. Well, you're just trying to cover up for people. Yeah, trying to cover their sins so they can heal. Amen. You cut your hand wide open, you're not going to just sit there and bleed all over things. You've got to cover it up for it to heal. Guess what? When somebody's hurt spiritually, you got to cover it up so it can heal. Got to stop the bleeding. You got to keep the infection out. We shouldn't just keep ripping it open and say, look what they did. It's not a badge of honor. Don't allow yourself to think about hatred. Cover it with love. I've been hurt by people. My dad and I were at the hospital the other night, and there was a person there whose family had attacked my dad and I. I spoke to that person kindly. Say, why? I'm not going to hate them. Long time ago, who cares? Get over it. Cover it so it can't be seen. Cover it with love. Well, you just don't know how this person hated me. You're showing me how immature your love is. Love is like a comforter or a quilt that covers hatred so that it can't be seen. It's like you ladies, it's laundry day and you don't want anybody to, if they're coming by, you don't want them to see the bed with no sheets or anything on, so you throw the comforter over top like you made the bed. Or you didn't make your bed and you just threw the comforter over top of it. You buddy. Okay, got down to where we live, didn't I? Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse number 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. Only fools cover hatred with lies. Can I tell you something? Learn to tell the truth. Well, don't get mad at me for this. Do you know who the hardest person in the world to tell the truth to is? Yourself. Learn to look at yourself square in the mirror and say, what are you doing? Because In your own mind, you can reason wrong to be right. Learn to tell yourself the truth. Fools lie about hate and end up making it worse. I didn't say it. God did. Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse number 18 again. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. In other words, you trying to hide your hatred by saying, oh no, I love you, and behind their back you're hating them. You're lying. Well, I forgive you, and behind their back, you're going back and, as I preached a couple of weeks ago, picking the scab open again. You're lying. You're mad at somebody lying at you, but you're lying about forgiving them. And you are as guilty as the person you're angry with. Fools use hatred and lies as slander. We're watching it take place in politics today. Obstructionism is nothing but fools covering truth or covering hatred with slander. Christians who want to play God. I know a family, they come to our church. They had a pastor. They were getting ready to go on vacation. They had duties in the church. They said, we're leaving. We're going to be gone for this week. And he said, oh, you can't go on vacation. You got to pay for my vacation. They came to me for advice one time, and the man pulled his wallet out, and he said, here, preacher. I said, what's that? He said, for giving us advice. I said, I don't take money. And he looked at me. He said, what do you mean? I said, I get a salary. That's what I get paid for. I said, I'm not taking your money. He said, well, the pastor we came from, every time we went to see him, we had to pay him. I said, well, you're in a wrong, different kind of church now. Not happening here. I don't take money for funerals. I don't take money for weddings. And I'm not taking money for counseling. You say, why? I love people. Amen. Has nothing to do with pay. He looked at me and he said, boy, this is different. I said, yeah, but get used to it. It'll be all right. Christians who want to play God. Be careful about that Christian that's so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Can I tell you something? There are some people that think they're so spiritual, but yet they are so foolish. They are hiding their hatred in lies. Well, I love their soul, but I hate their guts. Be careful. Hatred and slander is related. Slander is based on hatred. Slander means you're attacking somebody's integrity. When Mr. Kavanaugh was up for Supreme Court justice, that was called slander. There are people that should go to jail over that. There are people that should go to jail over the slander they're doing against President Trump. Hillary being one of them. Mr. Mueller is another one. Jim Comey is another. Bill Clinton should have been below the jail. You see, hatred and slander are related. Our press is filled with slander. Be careful what you read in the news or what you see on the news. Don't believe it all. Matter of fact, if you hear the news, listen to it, believe the opposite, and you're pretty close to the truth. It's going to be warm and sunny today. It's going to be cold and rainy then. That's called lying loose galley. I mean, you know, be careful. We hide hatred with lies. Some of you hate family members, even though you say you love them. Your actions say, I hate you. Your words say, I love you. But you're covering it in a lie. I've got to quit. It's 8 o'clock. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. How's your hate life? Is it biblical? Are we hating scripturally? Not hating people, hating things.